Can you stand it? I'm so excited. Hi, welcome back to Smell You Later, the podcast about scents.
I'm Sable, your co-host.
And I'm Tynan, your other co-host.
And Tynan is just like shaking in his seat because he's so excited about our guest
today. Listen, this is true. No, I just like, I love that we're talking about this, like it's a secret who our guest is. It's that they didn't read the like title of the episode. Anyway, when we were ideating around this podcast, we were talking about, you know, everyone we wanted to have in an ideal world. We're like, I wonder if we could get this person or this brand. And, you know, this is what I want the podcast to be like, you know, a high, low, and, you know, there is no low, et cetera.
High, medium.
Yeah. Or it's just all high. I don't know.
High highs.
And today we nailed one of our dream guests very early on, and I'm excited about it.
Roll.
Yes. But before all that, what are you wearing today, Sable?
I am wearing Catbird Tarot Deck.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. Totally off the cuff.
Wait, did I smell that with you? Oh my God. Do you remember when we went to Catbird on the first meeting we had? As if we have meetings about Smell You Later.
Yes, oh. I do remember that. The tiny little shop. So Catbird is a tiny little boutique in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, where I live. And they do fine jewelry.
Everything they do is like so small and thin, right?
Everything they do is tiny.
You could swallow one of their jewelry pieces and nothing would happen.
And live to tell the tale.
Be fine.
But it would be expensive, so don't. Yeah, I feel like they really like pioneered that whole like delicate ring stacking trend. Mm-hmm. Like they were all about that. But they also have like a little beauty section, and they created their own home scents, like candles and reed diffusers. Which were so exquisite. And then I feel like maybe it was a year ago. Yeah. They made some of those fragrances into perfumes, much to my delight. And one of my favorite ones was Tarot Deck. And like when you hear the name Tarot Deck, like you kind of think spooky, witchy, like dusty attic vibes, but in a cool Stevie Nicks way, not a creepy, are you afraid of the dark kind of way.
Yeah. That's such a good name for a fragrance.
Right? Yeah. So spiritual.
Since you're all fucking witches now.
Basically. I'm a witch. I sprayed it. Now I'm a witch. So it has incense, Turkish rose, pencil shavings. And honestly, it was the pencil shaving note that really got to me, because when I smelled it, that's actually immediately what I thought. It has that dusty feeling of like a trusty pack of cards that you've just like had in your keep. Maybe they're an heirloom. And it just has this kind of enveloping velvety smell. I smell my shirt.
Oh my God, I want to smell you so bad.
It's like pencil shavings, and there's like a waxy sweetness to it. It kind of reminds me of like a very romanticized version of Back to School, but like grown up and sexy, like what the CW would kind of run. Back to School, but sexy teenagers by the CW. Yeah, it's very elegant and very unexpected, and it's almost a little like wolfy. I don't know if that's like...
What?
Wolfy. I don't know. I get like a bit of like...
Cool though.
Like a feral vibe from this. Feral in like a majestic Stevie Nicks way, if that means anything to you. But it sticks around. Like this sillage is very bossy, to the point where if I spray it on myself too... Like I can only do one spritz around my head area. Otherwise, I'll have a headache. I took an Uber once, and immediately the Uber driver was like, oh, you have a very nice perfume. And I was like, thanks, man. And then he was like asking me about it. And he said it reminded him of, he was from Pakistan, and it reminded him of like part of his childhood. And then we just like talked about his childhood in Pakistan. It was like a really great conversation.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Does someone ever compliment your scent, like quote unquote compliment what you're wearing? And you think to yourself like, oh no, that was a read for sure.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, you can't tell if it's like, I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah. Right.
If it's a woman who compliments me, I like never think they're hitting on me.
Oh, totally.
But if it's a dude, I'm just like,
Right. That's nice. I love that. I love that story. It's very. Yes.
I love talking to Uber and Lyft drivers, because if I look at my phone, I get carsick really easily.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, well, we're in this tiny little bucket together. Might as well chat.
You're the dream Uber customer.
I have like one of my like 4.7, 4.8. I don't know what those 0.2s. What those were about, but Maybe they didn't like my perfume. Those were the point twos.
Right. Fair.
That's a very confined space to, like, you know, perfume up. If they don't like scents, they'd be like, this passenger smells too much.
Every time I'm in an Uber, I just feel like I'm getting judged down.
Save.
For like what I'm, like my fragrance, or like if I'm in like a, you know, makeup, whatever. And like, not about that. It's just like, I am in this confined space with one other person and they are thinking thoughts and I don't know what they are.
Do you get chatty Uber drivers? Do they ever like ask you questions?
Hopefully not. and no disrespect at all. But I don't know, man. There's only so many people you can talk to in a day.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Cause they're just like picking up person after person.
When I was bartending, I would not frequently, cause I always lived really close to the bar, unfortunately. But when it was really, really, really cold out, I'm talking Wisconsin, like 40,
oh God,
literally 40 below, I would take an Uber home so I didn't die. And I would get some really good stories from them then. Cause like, that is just,
that's after hours.
Fully the witching hour. Right. Exactly. You either have like service people like me on their best behavior are just like full blackout people and there's no in between.
You have to like check before you get in if there's like vomit on the floor.
They are doing the Lord's work.
Angels. They're just angels. Anyway, Tynan, what are you wearing today?
I am wearing Replica's Music Festival.
Ooh.
Today it was 80 degrees in New York, but yesterday it was like 50. Whole week it's been like fall.net. But today it was warm again. And Music Festival to me is, I always forget I have it and I always forget how much I like it. So I sort of just like throw it on whenever I remember it exists. So it's sort of timeless in that way to me. I guess you would say it was a summer fragrance because it is inspired by music festivals, but it's a really interesting fragrance in that it's sweet and tangy, but really earthy as well. It's sweet. Like I always say that it smells like a sour gummy worm and a Swisher blunt.
Whoa.
And
specific.
And patchouli. Because it's like sweet, but like sour sweet. And there's like this patchouli note that I guess I don't hate. It's odd. And today I noticed that it smells a lot smokier and a lot more patchouli forward on me than it ever has before. I don't know why. Probably because my allergies are acting up and I'm smelling 2/3 of it. But I really like this. I got it it dropped in 2017, which was a very weird summer. So it always sort of reminds me of that. But it also like reminds me of a couple of my friends. And I think a music festival is a sort of a risky thing to develop a scent around because they, you know, can a different, a music festival is different to everyone. You know what I mean?
Depends on the festival.
Exactly. Yeah, right. So this one at the top, you've got violet, red apple, cannabis. In the middle, you've got patchouli, incense, and tobacco. And the base, you've got cypress, leather, and cedar. And yeah, I mean, that spells out what it is. And to me, all of that makes more sense on my skin today than it ever has. There is still that underlying sweetness threatening to show itself. But I really like this. It's a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. It's a lot less weed forward than I thought it was going to be. Yeah, it's really deceptively very smart and very nice. So yeah, I don't know. I like it a lot.
I imagine like that's what Vanessa Hudgens smells like.
Oh my God.
Queen of Coachella.
Queen of Coachella. Yeah.
As a person who's been to one music festival, I was surprised at how much it smelled like kebabs.
Like what?
Kebabs.
What is a like kebab?
A kebab. I don't know. It's like a thing, like the meat on the stick.
Oh,
like
a kebab?
Kebab.
Is it a kebab? I'm probably saying it wrong.
It's spelled with an A, so I say kebab. And then that one, like, Flight of the Conchords song, where it's like, what song is it? With the most beautiful girl in the room song. And it's part, maybe it's the New Zealand accent. He's like, I'll buy you a kebab.
I'm learning so much today.
Okay, so yeah, in America, it's kebab. Everywhere
it might not be. I don't know.
But I just remember Coachella, A, being very overwhelmed and being like, wow, the food's really good here.
I love that. Also, you did Coachella right. The only way to do a Coachella is to get flown out, to get flued out by a beauty brand, and you did. And kudos to you.
I have no interest in music festivals, despite like playing music, but I thought literally the only way I would go to a Coachella is if
I was being, why did I have to go there? Or if I was playing it myself. And it was the former.
One down.
One down. We'll see.
I've been to a couple music festivals, and every time, no matter what I'm saying, no matter the festival, I'm just like, I've never felt older.
Dude, so old.
You know what I mean?
I was like only 32, but God, she's so young.
It's just like,
none of them had underwear on.
No, they're all so young and they're not wearing anything. But everyone's nipples are out.
Yeah. I saw so many butts and boobs.
Yeah, and I'm with it, but I'm like, y'all gotta last the whole day. Like, Beyonce is on till 9.
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't make it to Beyonce, I'll be honest.
I just like, I don't know. It's impossible to look cute. It's impossible, like, the whole day. You know what I mean?
Also, like, at a festival in that part of California, you're just in the hot sun. You're in a literal desert. And I'm like, this is punishing.
Yeah, I'm always like so looking forward to them. Not that I've been to a ton of them, but I've been to a couple, and I'll get there and I'm like, why did I do this to myself? There is YouTube.
I literally had to take a friend. I took Allie. I made her come with me because I was like, I need a support figure.
More support, dude. I love that.
And like, thank God, because I don't think I would have survived without her.
Yeah, no. You got to take a friend. You got to have a buddy system.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
God.
Anyway.
Well. So today on the show, joining us, we have Chrissy Montera from Bath & Body Works. We're so excited to have Bath & Body Works on the show because, as we said, I mean, in a way, they've played a really big role in the reason we started this concept the way that we started this show. And, you know, I don't know. I think that many people will agree with us in saying that even if you're not a like diehard Bath & Body Works fan present day, Bath & Body Works has probably played a pretty big role in your life in the sense that you've interacted. I know I rode for Bath & Body Works in my younger years, and I've always had like a current product of theirs in my life at some point. I'm super excited because I find them so ubiquitous, and because of that, mysterious. Like, everyone knows you. What's going on behind the scenes?
Who are you? When did you get here?
Exactly.
I was surprised to learn that they only started as a brand in 1990.
I know.
I don't know why. For some reason, I thought they were much older, but I was like, oh my God.
I know. Same. I thought they just like always existed because they have, you know, they were always there.
They were just always there.
You know.
But they were one of my first introductions into fragrance and scent.
Oh my God, same.
Because they were just the most accessible thing. I mean, we talked about this in our nostalgia episode, but that's when you had $20 at the mall, that's what you could get.
Mm.
Is a big old plastic bottle full of body splash.
Exactly. I mean, I think about this a lot, about how accessibility is so important and, you know, beauty and really everything. So I think that what I like about Bath & Body Works is they don't, you know, sell themselves as affordable. They just sell themselves as good, and they don't, you know, talk down to their consumer about, you know, what they're selling or what they're buying or why. It's just like, they have really great product at a very affordable price point, and I can't wait to hear more about it.
Yes.
So we hope you like it. We are so happy you could join us. Since we were sort of beginning to ideate about this whole project, we were like, Bath & Body Works was one of the first brands to come to mind, and we're happy that you agreed to join us. Just so, you know, we and our listeners have some context, can you tell us just a little bit about yourself and your role at Bath & Body Works?
I sure can. So I am Chrissy Montero. I'm the Associate Vice President of Marketing, and I have worked for Bath & Body Works basically since birth. So I've worked for Bath & Body Works for 14 years.
Yeah.
And I started as a junior copywriter. I was like a freelance copywriter, and really helped like develop the brand voice and who we were from like the mid 2000s. And then I moved over into like our broader strategy team. And now I own our campaign strategy, our social media, and our PR. So I'm getting to broadcast all the like 1,000 new products we have like every season. So
that's like 5 jobs you just described.
Honestly.
It's so much fun, and like literally I get to be like the cheerleader of the brand, so it kind of is like all my high school dreams come true.
I love that you've been here for as long as you have, because I think my biggest question for you that I've been like dying to ask, and I'm not even quite sure what the question is, so let me like talk myself through it, but can you just tell us about the sort of, I don't know, original core collection, or maybe what makes up the core that people our age know so well and what makes them so iconic. I'm talking cucumber melon, warm vanilla sugar, sweet pea, all of that. I mean, I feel like those are all seared into our memories and they have lasted, you know, until today and will continue to. Can you speak about that?
Absolutely. You know, I think, well, one, I think, you know, like we said before, it's like nostalgia just like permeates our brand. And so I think there's something to the fact that memory is so closely tied to fragrance. And we were just like such an explosion in the 90s that, like you said, everybody had like a million of our products stashed in every little nook and cranny of their lives. So I think there's something to that. I also think things like you said, cucumber melon, country apple, sun-ripened raspberry. I think there's just something so accessible, understandable, and relatable about them. And it was kind of a fragrance revolution. I mean, if you think about it, like body splash wasn't really a thing. And then it was just like, oh my God, you had to have a body splash in every single fragrance. And, you know, everybody had theirs. Mine was sheer freesia. I was all about that sheer freesia life. Pearberry. I had my body splash, my shower gel, my jelly jar. I don't know. Do you guys remember jelly jars?
I do, actually, weirdly enough.
So it's like, you know, there was just something for every part of your life. And I think that brand philosophy of like that, like, okay, the fragrance is what it says it's going to be. It's not like some esoteric thing that's like, you know, I don't even know. So evocative of a mood that like you can't relate to it. It's like, it's a country apple. I know what that's going to smell like. And so I think that accessibility, and it was just every single thing smelled amazing. And so your everyday body lotion that you might have been getting at the drugstore or the grocery store was now in like the most fun fragrance ever. And you had to have every single one of them.
That's a genius plan.
I mean, really, right?
Also just like appealing to what the consumer already knows is such a no-brainer, but it has clearly worked for you guys.
Well, and I think that's what also is like, you know, think about some of those like very iconic fragrances like those, and then even ones today that continue to become like franchises for us. There's something about like, they just translate across everything. So like I was saying, like a body lotion in a jelly jar, it's like, I wouldn't think I would want the same thing in my house that I would want on my body, but our customers love that. It's like, if they like Rosewood and Ivy, okay, that's my like home go-to fragrance. I'm obsessed with it. It's in every wallflower. It's in every hand soap. It's in every candle in my house. My husband probably is like, enough with the Rosewater Ivy. But we brought it out in body care. And it's like, if it doesn't smell like that candle smells, she's going to tell us about it. And so I think, you know, it's almost like we have a duty to our customers that because we are so like, it's across every single thing, we got to stay true to what she wants. Like, me as a customer, if we had brought in Rosewater and Ivy and it didn't smell like my candle, I'd be like, what the heck?
Betrayal.
Right. Do you have any, I'm sure you have insight into the most popular Bath and Body Works scent of all time?
Okay. So we've got basically, I'd say, I'll call the three best sellers of all time. And they kind of run the gamut. So Eucalyptus Spearmint, that's like our best selling fragrance. You know, there's just something really fresh about it. Something very like, it's in our aromatherapy line. It's also in some of our core like home products. And it's just like, it's very fresh. It's very, it has aromatherapeutic properties to help you relax. And obviously right now, especially like people need to chill. So that's helpful. You know, it kind of like, it's for anybody. It doesn't have, it's completely unisex. You can use it in the shower. You could use it in your house. And it's just super refreshing. So that one is like the bestseller, always, all the time, number one fragrance. Okay, so the Japanese Cherry Blossom, I'll tell you, is what we'll call our number two bestseller. That one, actually, so it came out in 2006 when I first started at Bath & Body Works, so I'd like to think I have something to do with it. It's consistently like one of our number one selling fragrances. It was the number one fragrance in America for, I don't even know, like 5+ years.
Wow.
And there's just something about it. It's like, you know, an amazing fragrance from like the floral, soft, feminine perspective, but it just has like this very classic and timeless scent that I think has a cleanliness and a freshness to it. And just is so iconic for us. So one of the top fragrance collections for us and in America, believe it or not.
Wow. That I can see, because that's just such a delightful, just like a happy scent.
It is. It's like, and she gets like a refresh every few years just to keep her modern, keep her up to date. She just got one this year with some really pretty delicate new take on the cherry blossom. So, you know, we like to make sure she looks her best all the time.
When you say she got an update, you say she got an update, do you ever, do you mean the scent or the branding?
Never changed the fragrance.
Same.
Never. I'm really upset.
Exactly. I mean, our fans are so devout to us. They know if we mess something up. I think there's also something to like, if it's something you loved when you were like 14 and you still love it at 44, you might think we changed it, but we didn't. Your palette might have just changed, but we never changed the fragrance. We only changed the packaging. And really, it's either to bring it up to date with like our core line. So like if it's feeling a little old, she gets a new look. And that was one that just needed a little modernity. So she got a new outfit this year. Okay, the last one is cucumber melon. Like, come on. That's like,
of course.
Yep.
I knew it.
That is one. So probably about 4 or 5 years ago, we launched like a flashback fragrances campaign. Everyone was flashback Fridaying and we were like, we need our own FBF. We never had these fragrances in the store ever. And we'd bring them back occasionally, but like few and far between. And so we started bringing them back every year and people just like lost their minds. And so we make sure they're always available on the website now. And then we have them in stores during our sale period in the summer because those fragrances are so perfect for summer. But I mean, they live in our hand soap collections, our hand sanitizer collections all year round. We have them in candles sometimes. They're just those iconic fragrances that like you smell that and it's like, that's Bath & Body Works. That's the 90s. Like I know where I was when I first smelled that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What is it about cucumber melon that makes it so ubiquitous? I mean, everyone knows it, you know?
It was one of the originals. You know, it was around from the dawn of Bath & Body Works time. I just think there's just something very relatable. Like you, I don't know about you, but like, I remember the very first package I saw it on, what the little graphic was with like the little melon slice and the little cucumber.
Yep.
You know, you just like, there's just that color palette, the graphic, all of that from when we first launched was just like so seared into our brains. Like you just can't forget it because it was just so memorable. That's what I had my jelly jar in, was cucumber melon. Like a little green jar and I was obsessed with it.
Right. You guys have so many SKUs. So many SKUs of products that the scent is available in. How, this is sort of a two-part question from both of us, but how do you decide what sort of scents to create and how do you find a void in your current collection to fill? And is there ever a void?
Surprisingly, there are. It's funny. We do tons of customer research. We also just like, our customers are always talking to us, whether it's in social, in the stores, they're always telling us what they're looking for. But then we're also always paying attention to what's happening in just the global fragrance world. So we're always looking at trends, what's happening, where it's happening. So sometimes, you know, it's really based in like, how do we translate a trend for our customer who likes like really heavy hitting, super powerful, bright, happy fragrances that are very accessible, translatable. But then also I think, you know, there are white spaces in our portfolio. So we're always looking at like, wait, we've got a fruity floral, but do we have the right fruity wood? Do we have the right fresh citrus? You know, so we're always evaluating, are we too heavy in one category? Do we have enough here? And where we need to fill the gaps of what's missing. But you know, you're always going to find a coconut in every season because our customers are obsessed with coconuts. So we've got a Christmas coconut. There's a fall coconut. You know, there's a coconut every season. So we know what she loves. So we try to make sure we have a different version of it for every single moment she might come in the store.
So interesting. I want a Christmas coconut.
Right? Coconut snowball.
I'm going to pick that up.
Sounds like a really good dessert.
Yeah.
Coconut snowball.
Yeah. Making me hungry.
When did you guys start getting into fine fragrance? I remember, I think my last year when I was at Allure, receiving a press mailer that had the gingham scent in it. It was so beautiful.
And then I was like, wait, Bath & Body Works does like perfume?
That Gingham Miller was huge.
Yeah.
Cool.
But okay. The scent itself was so elegant.
It is like our brand signature fragrance. I mean, you know, you go in Bath & Body Works, there's gingham everywhere. It's like our heritage heartland pattern that's so iconic to us. So it only made sense that we had a fragrance name for its namesake. And, you know, that was really our first foray into like a super fresh fragrance that was fine fragrance. But I would say, honestly, we've been in fine fragrance. So, you know, while we've lived the body splash life for years, now they're fine fragrance mist. So we upgraded our formula for fine fragrance mist in like 2009 so that it was a more luxurious experience than just a splash. It was a higher fragrance concentration. The bottle shape changed. That bottle shape has now been like copied across the world as like that iconic cylinder that everyone knows. It's kind of like how body splash was back in the day. Now fine fragrance was kind of that too. So we kind of consider that we've always been in it. But, you know, I would say perfume and eau de parfum has really become a broader part of our assortment over the last, gosh, I'm gonna date myself. I'm like, wait. You know, I would say probably in the last few years it's become bigger and has become an anchor of what, you know, we really look at as like a hero single fragrance launch versus maybe a seasonal collection. But we do, you know, we work with all of the top perfumers, all of the fragrance houses for anything from like a cucumber melon type of like a seasonal iconic fragrance all the way to a fragrance like gingham. You know, we work with all the perfumers that luxury brands are working with. So, you know,
are you allowed to drop names?
Yeah. I mean, we work with Firmenich, Givaudan, Mott, IFF. They all help develop all of our fragrances with obviously our brilliant product merchants and product developers within our brand.
That's fascinating. We're fully going to get sued by the end of the season one for like spilling some secret that no one wants to know.
No, we are really lucky that we, and you know, we have Gingham, for instance. The perfumer who worked on Gingham, she moved to the States, started her career, and her first client at a perfume house was Bath & Body Works. Oh, and cool. So she's been developing fragrances for us for years. And she, you know, is this amazingly talented French woman who is just obsessed with the Bath & Body Works customer and understands her probably better than just about anybody. And she's developed so many iconic fragrances for us. So it was like a natural fit for her to make gingham. So, you know, we like to think we are always in the fine fragrance game.
That's so cool.
She's like a generational aromatherapist.
Right, exactly. She's who we have to blame for all of it.
She realized she's done.
So just how do you know when one of your scents becomes iconic? Are there signs that you look at? Like, I mean, obviously like numbers or requests to bring it back or keep it. Or, you know, is it UGC? What is the barometers that you guys use to measure?
Well, a few things. I think one, when it has been around forever and there's no stopping it. So it's like not slowing down. It's always on a favorite for customers. They keep coming back for it. That is obviously one huge barometer. I think the other one is if it's something that could translate across multiple categories in the store. So like Rosewater and Ivy, started out as a test fragrance and a candle and just became such a passionate love in candles. We brought it in soaps. We brought it in hand sanitizers. We brought it in wallflower plugins, you know, and then it became a body care collection as we saw Rose trending bigger. So, you know, I think it's those fragrances that you see that just can translate again to like every part of our life and every part of every customer's life. I think those are how we know. But then we have such, like I said, a devout social fan base. And we look to them to tell us, you know, UGC is a huge part of like, what are they sharing? What are they talking about? But if we don't get something right, or if we get something so insanely right, they're like, bring back whatever, or, you know, we're obsessed, please never take this away. You know, I think a lot of those things we use for sure as a barometer for something being like super iconic.
I mentioned, and so did you, UGC, but I realized the listener might not know that.
Oh,
user-generated content. Yeah. So like anything you post on Instagram about a product that you love, which how What does your user-generated content look like as a brand like Bath & Body Works? Because it's not, you know, it's not, it is beauty, but it's not makeup. You know, you're not posting.
Yeah.
What does your feed look like in your tag posts?
So, you know, we have like a million SKUs, like you said. That's what our UGC looks like. So our customer loves to share all the things she's purchased. And that's what our tagged content looks like. Honestly, it's just like colorful rainbows, tons of just piles and piles of product. You know, I think that's some of our favorite content to share back with her is like, what's she sharing with us? Let's celebrate her. And I think that that's just really, again, like we have so many choices that the fan content can't help but show that. So there's always like a wallflower, a wallflower is a plug-in home fragrance.
Gotcha.
With user. Yeah. Use a name that no one would know what I'm talking about. That's a plug-in diffuser. So there'll be a hand soap, a wallflower, a hand sanitizer, a body cream, you know, a candle, obviously. There's like candle stacks and candle mountains. I mean, our customer loves a candle stack and a candle mountain. So you can't have a piece of UGC without one of those in there. But it's like being in our store. It's like a little wonderland of every single thing you could possibly get.
I love that.
Wow. Can you sort of walk us through the creative process of launching a new scent? Like say after all the research is done and then you decide like, okay, we're going to do like a fresh citrus scent. Like so what are the next steps after that from, you know, your brains to getting on the shelves?
So, you know, we get lots of inspiration, whether it's from our customer, from trend, wherever around the world. We do lots of traveling to see flavors, fragrances, all those things. So once we kind of say, this is the fragrance we're launching and this is when we're launching it, and this is, you know, its name, then we kind of figure out how we want, what we want the positioning and projection to look like, and, you know, how we could make it like the most fun experience for the customer, how we're going to help her understand what it smells like. I mean, you know, I think, again, most of our fragrance names, for the most part, are in the, like, we just launched Golden Sunflower. So when we launched it, we were like, well, what's more sunflower than being in a field of sunflowers? And so how do we bring a field of sunflowers to our store and understand this is what I'm going to get out of this fragrance as soon as she walks in the door?
I love that.
Yeah.
And like the experience of stepping into your store is truly like full color. It's so bright and it's so inviting and fun. It's a little like overwhelming to me because you do have so much shit, but it is like a joyful experience. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just like, yeah. Even walking by, I'm just like, oh, it's fun. You know,
it is fun. And I think, you know, what's funny is if you look back at pictures from the 90s and you look to now, obviously we've modernized. Our gingham's blue now versus red. We don't have the same awnings anymore, like barrels, but the color has always been there. And I think, you know, you look at old photos and you're like, wow, we have always just been like such a bright, happy, super colorful brand. It is. It's like eye candy when you walk in. I guess it's nose candy, but that's something else. So we'll go with eye candy for now.
We were like thinking about it. Your stores are, with as much product as there is, they're really easy to navigate. You know, mm-hmm. Like whoever's doing your visual merchandising is nailing it.
No, they're in my marketing team, so I'll make sure to spread it. I'll be thrilled. No, that we have such talented people working for us. And I think at the end of the day, whether you're going on the website, whether you're going on our social channels, whether you're walking in the store, it's like, how do I make it easy for her to experience every single thing in the store? For anybody walking in, whether they've been here a million times or if this is their first time coming in, we want to make sure you see that we have an abundance, a breadth, and that we've got something that everyone can love and help you try to find an option or just explore. I mean, I think we have one of the most fun stores to explore because there is just like so much stuff. And it's like you never know what you're going to find. That's new, that's different, that's something you loved and you're like, oh my God, they still have that, or wait, they brought that back, you know? So this kind of like a little discovery zone, and it makes it really fun to just see what's new and also just like walk a little down memory lane when you find something that you remember too.
Right. Speaking of, you know, remembering scents and always being able to cop something you love from the store, do you find that you have kept the same customer from, like we were saying, like the lotions and lip balms in middle school to, you know, hand sanitizers, which we'll get to in a second, I'm sure, in the office, to home fragrances for people's first houses? I feel like you can sort of grow up in Bath & Body Works in a lot of ways. Do you find that your customer sort of feels that way too?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we definitely don't make products for a certain, we're not like, okay, we need to make this product for this age or this person or whatever. We really do try to make sure our products are able to be beloved by anyone from like 9 to 90. And I think because of that, because we have fine fragrance, it's like you might be finding your fragrance for your first job interview all the way to your wedding, or you might be getting your hand sanitizer for your kid's backpack or your desk at work. Or, you know, I think there's just something about our brand that, yeah, your dad might have his like favorite fragrance was Glacier Bay and now he loves fresh water. You know, I think there's something that is kind of evocative that we've got something for every stage of your life, so you never really outgrow us, which I think is fun because there's something that grows up with you. You know, I wasn't using candles when I was in middle school. I was obviously jelly jarring, but now it's like I need a 3-wick candle in like every corner of my house, and because I've got to set a mood and I've got to get the ambiance going. And so I just think there's something for each stage. And, you know, I might have loved freesia when I was in middle school and now I'm a rosewater and ivy, but you've always got some fresh floral that I know I'm going to love that I can kind of grow up with.
Wait, pause. Speaking of candles, since you work for Bath & Body Works that makes so many iconic 3-wick scents, how do you talk yourself down from the anxiety spiral up? Did I blow that candle out?
Oh, so first of all, you always got to practice candle safety. Like trimming your wicks is very important. Owning a candle is like having a Tamagotchi. You have to feed it, water it. You can't just leave it or it will die. You know, you got to trim your wicks to a 1/4 inch to make sure you don't get all that soot on the edges. You don't get the balloon things on the top. But my husband does always ask me every time we leave the house, did you blow out the candle? Every time. I'm like, wait, I thought you did.
That's horrifying.
That's smart. It's my worst nightmare. A buddy, a candle buddy. Who just
accountability buddies for candles.
God, I hate living alone. I feel like every time I leave my house, my like candle is still on. My oven is still on. Flat iron is still on.
Yep.
You need that like a mantra. Like I'm always like keys, phone, wallet.
Yeah.
Did you pull the candle out? So that's your, you need to add that on. Did you blow the candle out?
Exactly. Keys, phone, wallet, mask, candle. It's like the list gets longer and longer.
It does. True. I didn't think about mask.
This might be like a bit of an obvious question, but given our current state of pandemic, have the hand sanitizers just like skyrocketed?
Yeah.
I was curious about that.
We've had hand sanitizers for like, luckily, forever. And so, you know, fortunately, we've had them in stock basically the whole time. We were able to donate some to, you know, local businesses and law enforcement and fire stations while they were on the front lines. But yeah, I mean, businesses, great sanitizers. Everybody needs them. So, you know, it's great to be able to have such an essential item during such a crazy time. And I think what's really nice about it is they're like in really fun fragrances. You've got a strawberry pound cake one, you know, something super yummy like that, all the way to like something really fresh like gingham or a cactus blossom. Or, you know, I think, again, it's like you have really fun ones with like unicorns and puppies on them. You know, I buy all those unicorn ones, so I was going to say for your kids, but like I buy those. to like really sophisticated fine fragrances. So like every fragrance we launch is almost undoubtedly in a sanitizer and also seasonal. You know, we just launched a fall bakery across our body care home and soap businesses, you better believe there's sanitizers that are like marshmallow pumpkin latte, and we got to keep up with the seasons even when you're keeping your hands clean. So
how do you approach seasonal launches? I can't imagine being any part of the team with so many new scents and SKUs coming out, and sort of that, and how do you decide what newness to infuse into new seasonal launches and what ones to bring back season to season, year to year?
Well, I can tell you from which ones we bring back. There was a year we didn't bring back sweet cinnamon pumpkin. Like, what were we thinking? And so I think, you know, we learned that just because it's, first of all, we have like 1,000 products again. So like, just because it's not the number one product doesn't mean she doesn't love it. So I think we learned our lesson there. So, you know, honestly, there are certain fragrances that we know it isn't fall without sweater weather, flannel, sweet cinnamon pumpkin, pumpkin pecan waffles, marshmallow pumpkin latte, leaves. Like, what am I thinking? Leaves. And so, you know, there's those like very iconic fragrances that like, it doesn't smell like that season without those things. You must bring those in. But then we try to just infuse trend, trying to tell a story. So like I said, we just launched a bakery. So we wanted every fall thing to be like a delicious flavor, but fall. So, you know, there's pumpkin cupcakes, there's pumpkin snickerdoodles. They're not all pumpkins, I guess. There's a Dutch apple waffle. So taking very iconic ingredients of a season, making them, you know, a part of a really fun story, like a bakery. And then, you know, Christmas too, there are just fragrances. It's like those come back every year. You've got to have Twisted Peppermint, Vanilla Bean Noel, Winter Candy Apple. So, you know, we take a lot of what she loves every other time of the year, what's happening in trend, what's happening in fashion, and infuse that into like, how can this be the most seasonal projection of like everdom?
Wait, can I tell you something? Speaking of seasonal, maybe speaking of like all year round.
Yeah,
please.
So I love peppermint in any form, and okay, I especially love it in hand soap. And every year I get online and go crazy and buy 12 Twisted Peppermint hand soaps. Just
okay,
so
I can love you.
Because I want them in my bathroom and on my sink because I wash my hands a lot, especially yeah, now. So I just buy as many as possible. So that okay, was a moment of honesty that no one needed.
I'm putting that on my wish list, gift list for Christmas. I got you. I might know someone that can make that happen.
Okay, perfect. That's what I like to hear.
But like, you know what? That's how our customer thinks. It's like, if you, again, back to like what she shares with us in social, I mean, people have closets dedicated to, I do, but I also work there, and like, it's allowed. I work there. But like, honestly, our customers like build cabinetry to house their collections and their stock. And if they get a fragrance they love, there's a really big fear we might take it away. And so they know, like, I got to get this or it'll be gone. Okay. So Tynan, you mentioned Forever Sunshine.
Yes.
Let me just tell you how that was like my jam.
Yes.
So devastated when it went away. Wish I still had like one. Like, what was I thinking? I clearly had her. Oh, she's so good.
Wait, is she on going?
She's gone. She's not even on the website. She's been like gone. Like, I think she came out in 2010. I was still a copywriter back then. And I loved that fragrance. So good. But, you know, I think that carries across everything. So people are like stockpile their favorite fragrances. And, you know, there's some that they dub like unicorns because they got it and it never came out again. And it's like, oh my God, I can't, like candles especially. Our fans love the seasons with our candles, but there's some that are like, I can't burn this. It's the last one I have left. Like, what am I going to do? I can't burn it.
Do you find that they're just across the board, since you have such a loyal customer base, do you find that there is a note or sort of a category that they respond to most or more than others?
You know, I still think there's something to those like very heritage fragrance notes that, like we were talking about, like cucumber, melon, country apple, berries, you know, those very simple, fresh, natural ingredients that she knows us for from our birth, those still super resonate. So like I was saying, like winter candy apple is an iconic Christmas fragrance that we bring back every single year because apple really resonates. But you know what? We've got an apple in the fall too. And those are notes that she just loves, because again, I think they're just like, they're very fresh, natural, and remind her of who we are from the beginning. We just do them really, really well. Not to toot our own horns, but we do. I think the other ones are like coconut and vanilla. Like I said, like we've got, so like mahogany teak wood, for instance, has a mahogany coconut in the summer and a mahogany balsam in Christmas. But like coconut is such a iconic fragrance for us. And, you know, even like warm vanilla sugar has a little coconut note in it. It's kind of addictive.
Yeah.
I was younger and now I'm gay.
You know, she also just got a new outfit this year. So she is in this new like marble swirl trendy outfit. She's super chic. That just happened actually this month. She just got her new look. So got to keep her updated too. But you know, she had the little brown sugar cubes on the front with the little vanilla beans. Everyone remembers those.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You must have been stocking up. Britney Spears, that was like her favorite fragrance in the early 2000s. Fun fact. Yeah. And then, you know, I think things like trending ingredients like rose, that has been something that has just continued to grow for us. I know I've spoken much about my rose water and ivy fascination, but you know, we've got rose in our aromatherapy line with like rose vanilla fragrance. We have a rose fine fragrance that's in our core fragrance lineup in body care, you know, so we're always also looking at things like rose, lavender, anything that's like trending or popular, and how we make it, like I said, really accessible for our customer and make it something that's just like a super luxurious experience that she can get for like $25 or less. It's kind of crazy.
I think the accessibility point portion or whatever is so important to what you guys do. And I think it's so welcoming to the consumer too.
I'm curious how it seems like Bath & Body Works has been able to like find any part of your life that you can send, like they will make a product for it. And I'm really curious, like what is, like, what's the next frontier of what you can send?
That is a great question. I think, again, without, like, we always are looking at, like, natural dovetail into something. So, like, hand care was like, okay, duh, we need hand creams because she's washing her hands. You need to moisturize your hands. We crush it in moisturizers. Like, what are we thinking? We need hand creams. So I think, you know, even that was, like, an easy evolution into a hand cream business, hand sanitizers, all those things. You know, I think we're always watching what the world's doing. And I think, you know, we're always open to like, let's try something new. Let's see what's out there and how we can make sure that fragrance is the most important part of what we're doing with whatever we do. So we don't tread into new ideas lightly. It's got to be about an amazing fragrance experience first and foremost. And that's kind of how we decide what we're going to do next. I mean, candles were a very small part of what we did for years, and then they just exploded. And now, you know, where we would have like one collection a season in the early 2000s, now it's like, we got a candle for every single fragrance in the store. There's like a body care fragrance, a candle fragrance, you know, there's just as much body care as there is home now.
With things being as they are right now with pandemic, etc., we're all spending so much more time at home. I guess, you know, you guys have always done home care and home scents, or rather, but have you seen an uptick in the behavior of your consumer and the way that they're buying now that, you know, our homes are also our classrooms and our offices, and the way that they may be scenting their homes?
You know, I think what we've definitely seen is that, like you said, like fragrance is such an important part of her home life. And like it wasn't before, it definitely is now. I think that, you know, there's so much antiseptic product being like sprayed in your house. Everything's getting wiped down. You've got your gloves on to wipe down the mail, like whatever level of cleaning you're at in your phase of the quarantine. But, you know, I think how your home feels welcoming, fresh, clean, I think fragrance plays such an important part of that. And it did before. You really want your house to just smell clean, because you might not feel like the world's very clean. And I think that translates from like all the way to your sink. Like you're washing your hands all the time. I don't want my hands to just be clean. I want them to smell clean. And so I think that's a lot of it. It's just like that fresh and clean feeling, whatever that feels like and smells like to you, is definitely a part of her life now and a part of like every person's life now.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Wow.
Totally.
This has been crazy. It's so, so informative. And no. Like, there's so much to know about Bath and Body Works. I can't imagine what like the inside of your brain feels like. I can barely wrap my mind around it.
It's very colorful. and it smells wonderful in there.
All right. That was our second guest.
Yes.
Bath and Body Works.
How can we top this?
God.
It's only up from here.
It's the mall. We got the whole mall in this pod.
I know. Do you believe in manifesting? Because I'm always like, maybe I should speak into existence who I want on this pod, but I don't want to look like an idiot if it doesn't happen.
Just write it in the notes app and then it manifests.
Oh, that's true. That's what we've been doing.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're like doing it pretty well. We have some exciting things coming up.
We do.
Everyone.
Yes.
It's an exciting... The future of Smelly Later smells very bright.
You.
Sorry. But thank you for listening. Tell us what you think. I don't know.
Yeah, tell us your favorite Bath and Body Works.
Yeah, tell us your favorite Bath and Body Works scent or whatever. Mine's more vanilla sugar, obviously.
I was into the freesia. And I think I remember liking it because my mom liked it. So she would allow me to buy all different types of like products in that scent. That and the cucumber melon.
Yeah.
I was even
you can't just, bitch. You like can't not like cucumber melon.
I know.
Like what she did for us.
I know.
You know?
That was the one.
And my other favorite is Twisted Peppermint. And we're in Twisted Peppermint season now, so.
When you said that you liked it in a hand soap, I don't know why my brain was like, oh, it's like toothpaste for your hands.
It is. I mean, shit.
That's exactly what I thought of.
I put the Summer Fridays jet lag mask on my toothbrush last week. I'm sure I would put hand soap on my toothbrush. Okay. As long as we're brushing our teeth.
Yeah.
But yeah, tell us whatever you want, but especially tell us your favorite Bath and Body Works.
Anything at all. What's going on in your life?
Exactly. Send us a DM at the
Smelligram.
Smell you later. @mp3 Instagram or on our personals. That's what we're doing anyway. So whatever.
Yeah.
And leave us 5 stars, please, and a comment or a review is what you mean. Only if it's good, though.
Review.
Or you can leave us a bad review, but you have to leave us 5 stars.
Yeah.
Well, you know, let's level somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Anyways. Love you. Smell you later.
Thanks again. Smell you later.